Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to look at the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay, I think most of us know what a eunuch is. Okay, it's a man that's been castrated, usually at a young age. Well, why would you do that to somebody? Well, first of all, you got to remember that the ancient world looks at things differently than we look at today. And so if somebody was very intelligent, but they were born into a lowly caste, they would be trained to be servants in the palaces, to read, write, and take care of keeping track of what's going on, keep records. And so for those kind of people, they were castrated. Why? I don't know, but that's the way things were done back then. The other thing that I find very interesting in this is, first of all, he makes a point of an Ethiopian eunuch. Why? Well, think about that for a second. Where's Ethiopia? In the Horn of Africa. Are the people white or black? What message is he sending? That the gospel is for everybody. Okay? And the other thing is, who's the educated one? The black man. You know, many times as we look at these kind of things, the Bible's telling us a lot more than we really, I think, are aware of some of the time. Let me tell you a little bit about St. Philip, because he's the one that talks to the Ethiopian eunuch. How many of you know at least something about Philip? Oh, let's, you know, one, two hands going up. Yeah, let's not all speak at once. Okay. An early extra-biblical story about St. Philip is preserved in the apocryphal letter from Peter to Philip, one of the texts in the Nag Hammadi Library, and dated to the end of the 2nd century or early 3rd. Now, this text begins with a letter from St. Peter to Philip the Apostle, asking him to rejoin the other apostles who had gathered at the Mount of Olives. Now, Fred Latham believes that this letter indicates an early tradition that at some point between the resurrection of Jesus and the final parting of his risen presence from the disciples, Philip had undertaken a sole missionary enterprise and was, for some reason, reluctant to return to the rest of the apostles. And we know this because in Acts it does tell us that each of the apostles were given their own charge in terms of missions. Okay? Like St. Thomas actually went to India and Spain, those areas. And so as we look at the apostles, each one of them was given a job. Well, there is a book called the Acts of Philip. And it was written by a contemporary of Eusebius. Now Eusebius, as I've told you before, is the person who put our Bible together around 300 AD. So this was a history of Philip that was written about 200 years after his life, okay? Following the resurrection of Jesus, Philip was sent with his sister, Mariam, and Bartholomew to preach in Greece, Phrygia, and Syria. Included in the Acts of Philip is an appendix entitled Of the Journey of Philip the Apostle, from the 15th Act until the end, and among them the martyrdom. And so we know that Philip was martyred in the city of Hierapolis, which translates from the Greek as the holy city. Now, according to this account, through a miraculous healing and preaching, Philip converted the wife of the proconsul of the city. Well, the proconsul, being a pagan, was angered. And so he had Philip, Bartholomew, and Mariamne, all tortured, and he decided he was going to crucify them upside down. Well, as Philip was hanging upside down on the cross, he began to preach to the people. As a result of his preaching, the crowd confronted the king and said, "Let them go." And Bartholomew and Philip's sister was let go. Philip decided that he would remain and die on the cross. so that the king wouldn't lose face. Think about that. You know, after his martyrdom, Philip was then beheaded in the city. And he was buried, there's a big Narcopolis, which is a cemetery. But one of the other main people that's in that cemetery is Marcus Aurelius, who was the emperor of Rome for a while. You know, we're talking about a major city. Okay. Let's talk about a little bit more about this meeting. First of all, we know that the eunuch is educated, right? What's he reading? Isaiah. Right? And it's a very pertinent part in Isaiah, the prophecy of Jesus. Well, for us to say, well, we're reading a book while we're traveling is not very big, is it? What about books at this time? Are they prevalent? Well, no. Okay. First of all, paper hadn't been invented yet. So what did you print books on? Well, not parchment, because that came out of Egypt. Vellum. What is vellum? Goat skin that's pounded flat. All right, so how expensive would every page be?
Very.
Okay, secondly, what do you got to have to write on the parchment? Or write on the vellum?
Ink.
Where do you get ink? Well, for the most part, it comes out of octopuses, which are prevalent in the Mediterranean. So they're milked for their ink. Well, that's expensive. Okay. Well, do you hook up the book to a printing press and you run off, you know, 1,000 copies? No. This would probably be a good place and about a right number for copying books. Each one of you would have a piece of vellum in front of you. I would have the book to be copied. And so I would read. So Philip and the eunuch come together. How long would it take to copy that book? About 6 months to copy a book. All right, let's put it in today's terms. If you had 40 people sitting there, all right, what's an average salary? You know, a livable salary in this day and age, $40,000, $30,000, let's say $40,000. All right, so you have half a year, that's $20,000, okay, times 40 people. Just salary alone is what? $800,000, okay? The vellum is expensive. So by the time you get this, you're probably talking $10,000, $20,000 per book. Now, scripture tells us that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading a book. All right, so what does that tell us? He had some money, okay? So we're talking about not only somebody that's educated, he has money, he's in the upper part of society. And then Philip goes up to him, and Gert, I'll be Philip coming to you, you're the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay? Do you understand what you just read? No. And what does he say? I need a guide. Okay. And so he invites, really, Philip. Now let's face it, Philip is not of the upper part of society. He's not a money person. He's got dirty feet. He's got one set of robes. He probably stinks. In other words, he's one of us. Well, maybe you don't stink. But you see what I'm getting at? Isn't this unusual right now to ask somebody that's in the upper crust of society to ask one of the lower members to be the guide? Okay, now stop and think about that for a second. Does Jesus have his hand in this? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is right here, isn't it? Okay, and so they sit down and begin to talk. And Philip explains some things to the eunuch. And then how does the eunuch respond? What does he want to be? He wants to be baptized. He converted. He became a Christian at that point. And I find it very interesting that this happens. All right. Now, remember the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Now, in the catechism, because we've been going through that, you have two parts: humiliation and exaltation. What is the humiliation of Jesus? Pardon? Even before his cross, what is it? He came down from heaven and was made man. To have God come down and be made man is a humiliation. It's a blessing for us. But stop and think what he had to give up to do that. Make sense? Now, we know that he's God at the same time because of the dual nature of Christ. But he had to experience the things that make a man, okay? Anger, hunger, love, you know, all the things that make us who we are, Jesus had to experience, including the pain of the cross and dying in probably the worst manner possible. That torture was saved in the Roman Empire for the worst of the criminals. Look at our other readings today. I find this interesting, the way they come together. Our first one from the Acts of the Apostles. And normally we have an Old Testament reading there. But during this Easter time, we have Acts. And I think it's great because it reminds us who the apostles are. Our next one is the Psalm, 150th Psalm, the last Psalm in the Bible. What's it deal with? Joy, music, almost all the instruments that are available at that time, you know, use them to make joyful. Praise God. Okay. Then we go into our 1 John reading. And actually, I cut out part of the 1 John reading because as we get into it, it's back to that bit that we use for confession again. Three of the readings include that during these 6 weeks. Why? Because it's important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what does Scripture tell us after the eunuch was baptized? He left Philip with what? Rejoicing and with joy. Folks, isn't that why we're here today? But yet, Paul tells us about this a lot, and especially when we get into Galatians. Galatians 4, 5, 6, and 7 all deal with living in the Spirit of God, not in the flesh. We want to be holy like God was holy. We want to be blessed like Jesus was blessed. You know, one of the things that we see from this reading is that Jesus tells us that one of the greatest things a man can do is to lay down his life for his friends. You know, in the military and in times of battle, somebody throws a grenade, guy nearest to it jumps on it, and he's killed, but he saves all of his buddies. Right? He did what? He laid down his life for his friends. Because he knew if he didn't, other people would die. No greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for his friends. All right, so we look at Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? No greater love. Did he practice what he preached? It wasn't easy, though, was it? Because without that death, we have no resurrection. Well, you folks are learning. It's coming. Okay? You got to have a death before you can have a resurrection. It has to be fulfilled. And again, why is the death important? Well, so we can have the resurrection. What bill was paid on the cross? Sin. Okay? Jesus paid for our sins. Remember, to redeem means to ransom. Something has to be paid. And Jesus, what's the most precious thing that he had? His life. And he was willing to give that for us. Folks, there are so many things. You know, we read the Bible, but do you see the stories and where they're going? You know, many of you do. But the thing is, many times I can sit and read something, and then somebody unpacks it for it, and I say, geez, why didn't I see that? Well, that's why you're sitting here. So that we do learn that. So we do appreciate what Jesus did for us on that cross. The gift of everlasting life. Let us pray. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. In Jesus' word, we rejoice because he laid down his life for us. And the people of God respond with, amen. To God be the glory. Amen.